Welcome to another class on Bible readings by Dr. Jim. My Bible readings are not as in-depth as my Bible studies from Greek and Hebrew. My intent is to do the book of Malachi from Hebrew, hopefully one of these days if the Lord gives me the life to do it. We're in the book of Malachi. That's the oldest, the last book, that is, in the Old Testament. And Malachi was written between 450 and 425 B.C. The prophecy was probably written about the time of Nehemiah, about 100 years after the first exiles had returned from Babylon. And the book talks about that period of time. The temple had been completed. The sacrifices were being offered in the temple. But the priests were careless. The people doubted God and were intermarrying outside of Israel. Judah was under a governor, and Edom had been destroyed. Malachi's style is very unusual. He makes a statement, and then he asks questions growing out of that statement. Malachi sets forth the greatest portion of his message by doing that. The enthusiasm that the Jews had returned to Jerusalem 100 years earlier was gone. They were discouraged. There was drought and their crops were bad, and they expected a golden age of prosperity that was about to dawn, because they looked at the Old Testament scriptures as the millennium. Israel did not see the church age at all, period. They didn't see the church age. They thought they were going to go right into the millennium. And they were discouraged because the millennium hadn't happened. The Messiah hadn't come yet either. They asked questions. Did not God care? Malachi answers all these doubts and all these questions because God is still on his throne. Look at what he did to Eden. God deals with sin, and God deals with Esau's descendants. Pay your tithes and obey him, is what he said. And see how he'll bless you. The Messiah is coming. There is a golden age coming, and before that day, that great day of the Messiah, there is going to be one more prophet come. That's Elijah. And the prophet Elijah actually was John the Baptist. He came in spirit. Now, in this book is the secret to election. The secret to election. And here we'll see right off the bat. Now, 22 times in the book of Malachi, this very small four-chaptered book, and they're not even long chapters, God uses a title called Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. Now, we don't say know how to say Jehovah, but we just say that. That's what King James started. Jehovah, the Lord of armies. Jehovah Sabaoth. 22 times he uses that term and that title of God in this message. The oracle of the word of the Lord. Hathavar. And then we have the word Hathavar. The word Hathavar was what we might call a replacement for the word Jehovah. So the oracle of the word Hathavar of Hathavar to Israel through Malachi. Now the word Malachi, Malak. Malak means angel. Malak means angel. Melech means king. It's very close to that. But Malak means angel or messenger. And on the end of it, Malachi, that it puts it in the genitive case or the possessive case, the case of ownership. And God calls Malachi his angel or his messenger. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob. Here is election. Esau was a playboy. Esau was the firstborn, and now we have the law of rejection of the firstborn in the Bible. Our first birth that we have into this world, we have a birth by our mother and our father, and God rejects that birth because it is Adamic, it is sinful. The spirit of rebellion works in us, but when we're born again, God sends His Spirit into our entity, and we become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yet I love Jacob, but I've hated Esau, and I have made his mountain desolation and appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. Now, God did bless Jacob. Definitely. That's his. Jacob was his choice. And Jacob's choice was God. Esau's choice was the wildlife, happiness, playing out, hunting, and running around and chasing women. And he was a playboy. And Jacob was the breadwinner of his family. Now God knew what Jacob would do, and he knew what Esau would do. Many preachers talk about the little mama's boy, Jacob, but he was not a mama's boy. His mother loved him. His mother tried to protect him as much as she could because she knew that he was the promised son. He would be the heir, not Esau. And his father knew it also. God, when Rebekah was pregnant, God told her, the firstborn would be rejected. And the firstborn would serve the secondborn. The greater would serve the lesser. Esau was a glutton and a man of vain appetite. Vain appetite. The secret to election is that God knows who will do what before it ever happens. I have hated Esau, and I have made his mounts of desolation and appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. Though Edom says we have been beaten down, but we will return and build up our ruins, and thus saith Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies. They may build, but I will tear down. And men will call them the wicked territory, and the people toward whom the Lord is indignant. Now the word indignant here, that word is zoom, zoom. Zoom means the froth at the mouth, like a mad dog. It means to be so mad that it is spitting foam and spitting. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody so mad that they talked, they were just spitting when they talked. That's what it is. That's the word here. The Lord is zoom. Zoom forever. Alone. Zoom alone. He's indignant. He's in rage. He's in hate. It means to angrily defy. That boy that loved the present world more than anything else, he hated him because he hated God. Edom or Esau hated the promises of God. He spit on them. And God spit on him. In the New Testament, in the book of Romans, Paul said, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. And it means what it says. The people who know the Lord is angry, indignant forever. Your eyes will see this and you will say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. that I am a father, where is my honor? He makes a statement, and then he asks a question. I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Saith the Lord Jehovah Sabaoth. Or Hadavar Sabaoth. To you, O priest, who despise my name, the priests were becoming very lax in their duties, and they were intermarrying with other people. They were supposed to be a very closed system, the priests. But you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, a blind animal, well, I'll just give him to the Lord. He's no good anyway. I'll just give this sick and dying lamb to the Lord because it's going to die anyway. And it's my offering. And that is not respecting God. Is that not evil? And when you present the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Why don't you take to your representative, to your senator, to your governor? Why don't you take him a sick and dying lamb and see what happens? And yet that's what you're doing to me. Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, saith Jehovah Sabaoth? But now, will you not entreat God's favor, that he may not be gracious to us with such an offering on your part? Will he receive any of you kindly, saith Jehovah Sabaoth? Again, he repeats, this is the God of all terror, the God who wipes out all your enemies. He is a God, your warrior. Oh, that there were one among you that would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire upon my altar. I am not pleased with you, says Jehovah Sabaoth, nor will I accept an offering from you. God's people don't give enough anyway, do they? Never can we give enough. Never can we give enough. There was a woman a long time ago that gave everything she had, even the food on the table of that day with a widow. They gave two mites because she believed in the system. And the system was this bunch of rascals. Rascal priest. For from the rising of the sun even to the setting, my name will be great among the nation, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, and for my name will be great among the nations, says Jehovah Sabaoth. But you are profaning it, that you say the table of the Lord is defiled. As for its fruit, its food is to be despised. Would you take to the President of the United States, whom you loved, would you take a spoiled and rotten carcass to him and say, here's your dinner for today. Have your chefs cook it. A rotten, spoiled carcass. And yet, this is what they were doing to God. As you also say, how tiresome it is, and you disdainfully sniff at it, says Jehovah Sabaoth. And you bring what has been taken by robbery, and what is lame and sick, and you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hands, says Jehovah? But cursed be the swindler. Cursed who is a male in his flock and fowls, but it sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am great king. I am the great king. I am the great Melech, saith Jehovah Sabaoth. And my name is feared among all the nations, because I brought you out of Babylon. I brought you out of Babylon with a high hand. I brought you out of Egypt with a high hand. Chapter number 2. And now this commandment is for you, O priest. You leaders, worship leaders. If you do not hasten and listen, if you do not take to heart that give honor to my name, saith Jehovah Sabaoth, and then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I'm going to rebuke you and your offerings, and I will spread refuse on your faces, and the refuse of your feet, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, saith Jehovah Sabaoth. The Levi is the house of the priest. My counsel with him was one of life and peace, and I gave to him as an object of reverence, so he revered me and stood in awe of my name. I remember a good friend of mine, Brother Sue. When he came and preached in the pulpit, he always came in barefooted, because God had told Moses, remove your shoes, your sandal, for on the ground that you stand on is holy ground. When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's holy ground. It's holy ground. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips, and he walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of the priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. He is a Melech, he is the angel of the Lord of hosts. The messenger is. When you stand in the pulpit, you're a messenger of God. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way, and you have caused many to stumble, and by the instruction you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Jehovah Sabaoth. So I also made you to be despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction, in the teachings. Verse number 10, do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, each against his brother, as to profane the covenant of our fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously in abomination, and has been committed to in Israel and in Jerusalem for Judah, and has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of foreign gods. As for the man who does this, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob everyone who awakes and answers to he who presents an offering to Jehovah Sabaoth. And this is another thing that you do, cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering and accepts it with favor from your hand. Cry because you have become profane. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been the witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. God's men, God's priests, had divorced their Jewish wives and had married pagans. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. Of what that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring, take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, saith the Lord God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong, saith Jehovah Sabaoth. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Divorce. These priests were divorcing their Jewish wives to marry young, beautiful, sexy, attractive pagans. And you have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, how have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good. This reminds us of our time. Good is bad and bad is good. Evil is good and good is bad. Or good is evil. In the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. And where is the God of justice? We can ask that in America today, can't we? Mm-hmm. When they're making it legal to sin. In other words, sin is good and righteousness is evil. When we preach against sin, we're doing bad. We're racialist. We're racist. We're haters of good people. But the good people are bad people. You look at what happened in America today. We had a lifetime criminal, George Floyd. And now he's become a hero. The man was all drugged up. He had a warrant out for his arrest for rape and burglary, and now what we call passing off counterfeit money. And they made the man into a hero. The man was a lifetime criminal. Chapter number 3. Lord, I'm going to send my messenger. Now he said, I'm going to send Elijah. And he will clear the way before me and the Lord. Elijah, John the Baptist, will clear the way for Jesus. He's going to preach righteousness and judgment to come. Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And he's preaching right against the priest again. Everything that the priests were doing in Jesus' time, they had done in Malachi's time. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is among us, says Jehovah Sabaoth. But who can endure that day of his coming? Who stand when he appears, for he is like a refiner, and fire like a fuller's. So now we have the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus many times misunderstood. Jesus came as a servant, as our dying King and Savior. But when he comes again, he shall come like Revelation the 19th chapter, with a sword in his mouth. And he will set in the smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. And that's not going to happen until when? Not until the millennium, really, in all reality. During the tribulation period and the last part of the tribulation period, Israel will have seen, after 2/3 of them have been murdered, they will see that the Messiah they crucified was the Messiah, the true Jehovah Sabaoth, as James calls him. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord in the days of old, as in former times. And then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against those who swear falsely and against those who oppose the wage earner in his wages. And the widow, and the orphan, and those who turn aside the alien. Do not fear me, says Jehovah Sabaoth. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. I do not change. I kept and remembered my covenant, though many of you that die, that covenant is solid and forever. And it will take place and be fulfilled in the millennium. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says Jehovah Sabaoth. But you have said, how shall we return? Will a man rob God, yet you are robbing me? But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings have you robbed me. You didn't pay your tithes and offerings. I gave you everything. You only give back 10%. And when you give a sacrifice, it is a worthless sacrifice. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation, of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that it may be food in my house, and test me now, saith Jehovah Sabaoth, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you. The devourer is the locust there, the one that eats your crops. And it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, and you will... Your vine in the field and cast its grape, saith Jehovah Sabaoth. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, saith Jehovah Sabaoth. And your words have been arrogant against me, saith Jehovah. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said that it is in vain to serve God, and what profit it is that we have kept his charge, and that we have walked in mourning and before Jehovah Sabaoth. And now we call the arrogant blessed. Ooh, it reminds me of politics in America today. We call the arrogant blessed. And not only are the doers of wickedness and build up, they also test God and escape. They think, the people that are ruling our country today, think they can thumb their noses at Jehovah God of heaven, Jehovah Sabaoth, and walk off okay. No, not in the end. The Book of Remembrance. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and in a Book of Remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord, who esteem his name. And they will be mine, says Jehovah Sabaoth, the day that I prepare my own possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. It will be a time when God will save all of Israel that goes into the millennium. He will save them. God saves and protects us every day of our lives, you and me. And I tell you what, I don't know how in the world I stand before you today, because God has taken many a blow from me. He's taken many a blow from me. Angels must be tired of soaking up the poisons and the toxins that have gone into my body that I should have gone died so many times. The explosions all around me. The knife wounds, the bullets. And the dangerous assassins. Yet I stand here before you because of the grace of God. And you will again be distinguished between righteous and the wicked. Between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. The last chapter, the final admonition that God gives us to us in this verse, in this chapter, in this little book, Malachi. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be like chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says Jehovah Sabaoth. So that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and skip like the calves from the stall. Calves are taken in the stall, and they're put in there, and they're tied up, and they're still, and they can't move around and stretch. And all of a sudden, the rope is cut, they're turned loose, and they're skipping out in the sunshine, in the fields. I don't know whether you've ever seen a lamb or a little horse or a goat or a calf leap and jump in the fields, happy, jumping and kicking and just having in glee. He says, that's what you're going to be like. And you will tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And on the day that I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. And this is called the Great Judgment Day, you know. The Great Judgment. There's two of those take place at the end of the tribulation period and the end of the millennium. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statements and the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him on Mount Horeb for all of Israel. Behold, I am going to send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers unto their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. Lest I come and smite the land with a curse. Some of you mothers and some of you fathers out there really would pray for that, wouldn't you? When you've got a wayward child or wayward son or daughter that you want to come back and you want them to love you and to respect you for what all you've done to them. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. Many fathers have abandoned their children. Many children have abandoned their parents. And God says, you abandoned me like that. Come home. The prodigal son, come home. Come home. Come home to rest. Come home to the love of God. Election. The very secret of election is that God loves those that love him. He gave his son for all mankind. Jesus died for the blood, for the whole human race. But only those that respond to that call will God love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. For by grace you're having been saved through faith, and that faith is not coming from you, it's coming from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those that are under the curse of the law. And it's you and me, our Father, we send this message out. For those that will hear and those that will love you, Father, use it for your honor and glory. Please forgive me where I fail you.